Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. With the new Biden administration, there's so much to talk about. It's hard to know where to begin. I have notes compiled concerning the left shutting down of free speech. I have notes about the false hope of QAnon, conspiracy theories, dominion theology, and the false prophets. But for this week, let's just look at Biden's initial executive orders and the reaction to it. I'll pick up those other subjects in future weeks. For me, the spiritual lesson that stood out over the last week is the division between people, between the ideologies of the right and that of the left. It's like the people who supported Biden and the left are living in a completely different universe than the 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump. The left believes virtue is abortion, LGBTQ, open borders, acceptance of socialism, and the fighting of global warming is the existential crisis of our time. And with Biden's executive orders, that was the agenda. The right believes virtue is pro-life, national sovereignty, traditional marriage and gender, economic freedom, freedom of speech, and each group calls the other group evil. Isn't that amazing? Will the real truth please stand up? Now, there are those people who see these divisions as unnecessary, that this is just tribalism, this is a tempest in a teapot, we should all just learn to get along. These people think that the problem is the disunity itself, not the issues. But that is a very secular, relativistic view of morality. These issues causing the divisions are extremely important. They're about the moral law of God, and righteousness is worth fighting for and defending. In Luke chapter 12, our Lord Jesus Christ said something very significant that overturns so many misconceptions about God and truth and our mission. Jesus said he didn't come to bring peace, but to bring division. Luke chapter 12, verse 49, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The fire there is a reference to judgment upon sin. Verse 50, but I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished, speaking about the cross. Verse 51, do not suppose I came to grant peace on earth. I tell you no, but rather division. For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. It's such a lie that division is always a bad thing. In fact, the most necessary division is to separate from evil. To not divide between truth and error is sin. Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have done violence to my law. They have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. When Jesus said, do not suppose I came to grant peace on earth, he is pointing out that there will be many people who suppose that the goal is unity, that the problem is the division itself, that the sin is the battle. But in Luke 12, Jesus is refuting that misconception. God is interested in dividing between the righteous and the unrighteous, between the sheep and the goat, between the wheat and the tares. And we're called to fight the good fight of faith, as Paul told Timothy to do. So the political separation that we're seeing today, the culture war, is to be expected. It's simply the public demonstration of people's morals and their relationship with God. Man's political actions are the theater of the soul. Remember the example of God's prophets? Hebrews chapter 11, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, as Daniel in the lion's den, who prayed and defied the laws of the state. Verse 34, they quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. From weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These all having gained approval from God through their faith. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? No, I tell you, rather division." I came across this poem by Charles Mackay from the 1860s. You have no enemies. You have no enemies, you say. Alas, my friend, the boast is poor. He who has mingled in the fray of duty that the brave endure must have made foes. If you have none, small is the work that you have done. You have hit no traitor on the hip. You have dashed no cup from perjured lips. You've never turned the wrong to right. You've been a coward in the fight. And remember what also Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Why would Jesus say this? Because the arc of the world doesn't bend toward justice. It bends toward evil. Because of human depravity in the fall, because of the normative condition of human depravity, of original sin, truth is on the scaffold and error is on the throne. So don't be offended or shy away from the culture war as if it's some unchristian endeavor. Yes, there are some bad actors who are unbiblical in the way that they fight the culture war, but the division and the conflict is still right. This is the Lord's battle. And let's remember how the Bible ends, what the future holds. Man's rebellion against God will be displayed in government and politics. In the book of the Revelation, the rise of the Antichrist, the world will show its rebellion against God by setting up the lawless kingdom of the Antichrist. This is Psalm chapter 2. The nations will take their stand, and the rulers will counsel together against the Messiah, against the Lord, and they will want to tear away the law of God. So there are two kingdoms in conflict. You will either choose the kingdom of God, or you will choose man and humanism, which is represented in apostate human government. God allows his people through politics to reveal their spiritual condition. You'll either go for Jesus or for Caesar or Barabbas. Luke chapter 2, verse 32, behold, this child, the Messiah, is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. Or how about 1 Corinthians 11:19? For there must also be factions or divisions among you, so that those who are approved may become evident among you. So everything we see happening in the news today is setting up the world for this grand demonstration of people's allegiances. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, the great time of testing that's about to come upon this whole world. Now let's review the ideology of the left and Biden's executive orders. God is putting this all on display to expose evil. There were at least 30 executive orders in the first 3 days, and more are being added every day. And of course, Joe Biden did not write these executive orders. He agrees with them. But the leadership of the Democratic Party had these all set up way before his inauguration. First, the shutting down of the Keystone Pipeline and the suspending of all new permits for oil drilling on federal land. Biden campaigned on the promise that we must eliminate the use of oil because he believes that burning oil, fossil fuels, is causing global warming. The oxidation of carbon, the burning of fossil fuels, creates CO2, which plants use to grow, which actually creates more fossil fuels, and this is the cycle of life. But Biden and the left are all into this unscientific, naturalistic, nature-worshipping, pantheistic myth that CO2 is a pollutant. It's rooted in a theological worldview error, but that's really a whole other discussion. The bottom line is that this error results in foolish policy, thousands of people being put out of work. And at issue here is the president having the authority to revoke these permits in the first place, to pass these executive orders, because the authority actually belongs to Congress, not the president, along with many other executive orders, such as Biden's executive order to pay all federal contractors $15 an hour, Biden's order to require masks on all federal property and interstate highways, his moratorium on evictions and foreclosures, the halting of student loan interest and payments, a reversal of the Trump administration's business regulation reductions. So regardless of what you think about these orders, the authority belongs to Congress, not the president. The proliferation of executive orders is just part of our slide into totalitarianism. In discussing these executive orders, we can break them up into five main categories. First, as I mentioned, the man-made global warming agenda, the immediate shutdown of oil production wherever possible, and this is what Biden campaigned on. In the debates, Biden said we have to move away from the use of oil. And with this, Biden signed an executive order to have the U.S. rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which will give the administration the legal authority to shut down many aspects of the oil industry. The Paris Climate Accord, which was signed by President Obama, is actually unconstitutional. The Constitution states that the Senate must ratify treaties. This cannot be done unilaterally by the president. The second category of executive orders are in regard to the COVID pandemic, which includes rejoining the World Health Organization, which Trump disassociated with because of its bureaucratic corruption. Biden then signed at least 10 other executive orders increasing the involvement of the federal government in managing the pandemic. There are new directors, new programs, new task force, a health equity task force, so there's no prejudice in who gets the vaccines. Biden claimed that he inherited a mess in Trump's federal response to the pandemic. But understand, for a status like Biden, he calls it a mess because the federal government doesn't have its fingers in everything. That's this paternal status mindset on the left that we've seen over the last year. Like most conservatives, Trump left it to the states and to the health industry to manage this issue. In the words of Ronald Reagan, the most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government, and I'm here to help." You know, it's also interesting that now that Biden's in office, he's saying something quite different. During the election, Biden's big claim was that with his coronavirus policies, thousands of American lives could be saved, that he could do a better job. Now he's saying, quote from Biden, "Nothing we can do can change the trajectory of this virus." And I find that quote extremely telling because this has been the truth all along. But politicians always promise lies. And sadly, so many people believe them. I mean, did you actually believe Biden's claim during the debates that Trump was doing a horrible job and that once in office, Biden would have a better plan and he would save hundreds of thousands of more lives? Now, the left's response to the pandemic and to oil is not really a direct violation of the moral law of God. So it's not the biggest concern of the Christian community. But we do understand that these faulty policies are rooted in wrong theology, a wrong view of moral priorities, a wrong understanding of God's natural world, the left's actions here do tell us much about who they are and what they believe. But it's really the third class of executive orders dealing with immigration that are a much clearer violation of God's moral order. In these leftist riots that have taken place over the last week, the protesters were chanting, "No nations, no borders." The left believes in globalism. Without the gospel solution to the problems of this world, the only solution they can imagine is human unity, the power of man getting together, which is the Tower of Babel philosophy of one worldism, centralized control. But God has established the separation of nations, borders, boundaries. Now, yes, the Democrats want to open up the border because they want more Democrat voters. But actually, it's also because they believe in globalism. So Biden's first act was to halt the construction of the border wall. Some Democrats are even talking of legislation to take down the wall entirely. Biden put a moratorium on all deportations. ICE agents were told to release all illegal aliens in custody. There are these caravans of immigrants now working their way toward America. And by Biden's order, they cannot be deported. Texas has sued the Biden administration because his executive order stopping all deportations is really a violation of immigration law passed by Congress. A judge has agreed with Texas. We'll see where this all goes. Biden has also passed an executive order that illegal aliens must be included in the census so that Democrat cities can inflate their numbers and get more seats in Congress. And Biden has reversed the Trump administration's immigration and travel restrictions on seven countries, which was called by the left the Muslim ban, Islamophobia. But North Korea, Venezuela, Burma are not Muslim countries. The criteria was not religion. It was a list of countries that could not or would not vet or provide adequate backgrounds for the people they were sending to America. But notice the propaganda on the left, that this is a Muslim ban. So why would the Biden administration do this? No border wall, no deportation of illegals. Well, don't be naive. They want national borders erased, an open society. This is one of their moral crusades. This is what they're doing for ideological worldview reasons. And along with this, the left is trying to undermine America's founding. Biden actually signed an executive order dismantling Trump's 1776 commission. And that commission was formed for the purpose of teaching a proper view of America's founding. But as we know, the left wants to promote the 1619 project view that America was founded upon racism, which would delegitimize America and the Constitution. Then there's this fourth class of executive orders, pro-abortion. Biden signed an executive order overturning the Mexico City policy that bans the federal government from funding non-governmental groups that provide or refer patients for abortion. So now all of these Planned Parent groups will get money from the federal government. Then the final, most evil executive order. Biden's executive order preventing and combating discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Quote, "Every person should be treated with respect and dignity and should be able to live without fear, no matter who they are or whom they love. Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. Adults should be able to earn a living and pursue a vocation, knowing that they will not be fired, demoted, or mistreated because of whom they go home to or because of how they dress does not conform to sex-based stereotypes. In other words, there should be no objection to cross-dressers." Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 is overturned. Also, people should be able to access health care and secure a roof over their heads without being subject to sexual discrimination. All persons should receive equal treatment under law, no matter their gender identity or sexual orientation. Now, we know no child has ever been denied access to a restroom or to a locker room or to school sports. This is about requiring the ideology of gender fluidity, that boys can use girls' restrooms and locker rooms and play in girls' sports. This is insanity, but this is what Joe Biden said he believed. During the debates, he said an 8-year-old boy should not be discriminated against for his choice of gender. And at a town hall meeting, Biden said he would remedy discrimination against LGBTQ by flat out changing the law. And if you read the details of this executive order, it's not passive. But the heads of each government agency are to review all existing orders, regulations, guidance documents, policies, programs, and other agency actions that discriminate against LGBTQ and gender choice and implement new law. This is not protecting, but promoting and implementing LGBTQ ideology. It is forcing the normalization and the acceptance of this behavior. And Congress doesn't even have to pass the LGBTQ Equality Act. Biden is doing this through executive order. So under Barack Obama, we get homosexual marriage. Under Biden, we get transgenderism. And the people love it so. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it so, but what will you do in the end of it? Or 2 Thessalonians 2:10. They did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. I mean, this is the sad reality. It's not as if there is an evil cabal running America totally opposed to the will of the people. No, there is a mass of secular and religious ungodly people in America who want this. So notice some of the reaction. Stephen Colbert said the inauguration was a joyful occasion. Like I do at most happy things, I cried a lot. It's true, I was extremely emotional. What I feel is enormous relief. Laura Wolf at the New York Times, I felt chills. Joe Scarborough, MSNBC, today's Republican Party is what we read about Hitler. Van Jones, there was not one part of Biden's address that wasn't just medicine in the wound. CNBC with Shepard Smith, he said about Biden's inauguration, it felt cathartic, heartfelt. It ended with a feeling of hope springing eternal. ABC Chief White House Correspondent Cecilia Vega, the moment was to reclaim truth. And headlines the next day in the New York Times, democracy has prevailed. There's something fundamentally reassuring about Biden's character, his loyalty, his empathy, his experience. A call for a return to civility and truth as a guiding light. An era of constant turmoil and falsehood has ended. And notice the narrative framed by the platitudes in Biden's inaugural speech. It's quite informative. Quote, this is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. To overcome these challenges, to restore the soul and to secure the future of America requires more than words. It requires the most elusive thing in a democracy, unity, unity. And Biden emphasized the word unity at least 8 times. Quote, with unity, we can do great things, important things. Quote, I know speaking of unity can sound like some foolish fantasy. I know that the forces that divide us are deep and real. Quote, history, faith, and reason show us the way of unity. Quote, without unity, there is no peace. Quote, this is our historic moment of crisis and challenge, and unity is the path forward. End quote. Together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division. And yet, what did we just read Jesus saying about unity? Unity is not the overarching moral value. There is no unity if there's not unity around God's truth. Unity is defined very differently by the left. At each point in Biden's speech, where he mentions the word unity, replace it with the word conformity. And then you'll understand what he really wants. With conformity, we can do great things, important things. History, faith, and reason show the way of conformity. Without conformity, there's no peace. This is our historic moment of crisis and challenge, and conformity is the path forward. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of conformity, not division. The left wants the country unified by conformity to the leftist agenda, because for the left, there is no unity if there's any conformity to the right. You know, one of my great concerns is that Christians be not deceived by the high-sounding rhetoric of the left. You know, as Paul would write constantly in the New Testament, do not be deceived. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers. Or Romans 16, 18, by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. Someone sent me a post from a professing Christian family celebrating Biden's Inauguration Day with a congratulations Joe Biden cake. And the father said that with Biden, there's going to be decency, integrity, and empathy again. But do they even read the news? Have they read these pro-abortion, pro-LGBTQ executive orders that blaspheme the law of God? Are professing Christians being so deceived by the platitudes and the claims of virtue? I mean, the Pharisees and Herod claim virtue and peace and the safety of the people. You know, I was reminded the other day from Pilgrim's Progress that John Bunyan has one of his evil characters named Mr. Civility, because civility has always been an excuse and a cover for evil. Quote, his son Civility, in spite of his smiling manner, he is yet a hypocrite. He cannot help you. Are these Biden supporters really fooled by these claims of virtue? I hope not, because evil always claims to be virtuous. I mean, it's not as if, you know, there are evil people who are going to come along and say, you know, we're evil, we're Satan worshipers, we're bad, we're wrong. No, they're going to come claiming equality and justice and fairness and goodness. So the only way to tell is by their fruits. As Jesus said, do not go with what they say, but by their fruits you will know them. So whenever you see clear violations of God's moral law, then you know you're dealing with Satan, who has come disguised as an angel of light. What the Bible says is really going on here is that people are not simply deceived by the rhetoric, but they're deceived because they love the ideology of the left. They are of the same spirit as the left. As the Apostle John spoke about, it's not just the error of the Antichrist, but it's the error of the Antichrist spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it's coming, and now is already in the world. And being of that spirit, they are attracted to the error. 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, they are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, he who is of God listens to us, he who is not of God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, back to our opening text. This is the division that Jesus came to bring. Dividing people who are of the spirit of truth and those who are of the spirit of error. As Jesus said to Pilate, those who are of the truth will hear my voice. And John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and they will follow me. But the Antichrist and his people will arise in this world. All the world will worship the Antichrist. They will give him their allegiance. They will listen to him. They will give him adulation. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, tells us that these are the people whose names have not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life. And notice the emphasis and the warning that follows. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So don't be deceived by what is to come. Heed the warning of God. You know, it's really heartbreaking to watch people embrace the lie. That strong delusion allowed by God, as we read about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's disheartening to watch our nation unravel. But remember, our goal is the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the end of this age, God is going to wean his people off of all of the kingdoms of men, and we will look solely to Christ. Thank you for watching. Thank you for making God and Country just one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, to leave a comment below, to share, and may Jesus Christ reign.